right. So this morning we have a guest speaker, Bob Wendt, who's Executive Director of Abundant Honor Ministries. So I will let him introduce himself. We had the privilege of him speaking to us around this time last year as well, and wonderful testimony that of his life and what led him to this ministry. So without further ado, I'll just introduce Bob.
There we go. Good morning. So I am the vacation fill-in, 2 years running. So, you know, I don't know what that means. Fred doesn't really want to hear it. He claims he listens to him later, but you never know. I'm strangely relaxed this morning. I'm usually a little apprehensive when I get an opportunity to preach or teach. And I don't know that I feel particularly prepared. Not fully prepared, relaxed. I don't know if you guys are in for a really great time or you ought to head for exits here. So what I'd like you all, turn me down, Dave. I've got a big mouth and I'm not afraid to use it. So what I'd like us all to do is take one deep breath and hold it. Everybody. Now just hold it for the next 40 minutes because we're going to jump into the deep end of the lake this morning. Okay, those of you that are really literal, please breathe now. You're scaring me. Some of you are turning blue. Now we're gonna talk about my lesson, my session this morning is I'm calling No Easy Day or Lessons on Suffering. As a counselor for the past 30 years, I've seen and heard many, 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 many stories that break my heart. Broken lives, scars, question marks that people carry deep down inside. And I know that you all have those same things, just like I do, just like my clients have, just like my family has had. And my purpose this morning is that I don't want us to be the Luke 8 folks, where the message fell on the rocky soil, and we received it with great joy. But when trials and temptations have come along, we find ourselves falling away, derailed in our faith, hopeless. Maybe we go through the motions for the rest of our Christian lives and attend a church like this and smile and nod and know all the right Christianese, but spiritually we die inside. And that can be happening and may be happening to some of you here this morning. Statistically speaking, it probably is. So my goal here is not to answer all the questions of suffering. I'm not that smart, and if I thought I did, you should not listen. But I've learned a few things through my own journey, through the journeys I've walked with others as God has given me that opportunity. So they say if you're going to write or speak, talk about what you know. So I'm going to share what I know, and hopefully that will be an encouragement to you. And just so you know how my brain works before we pray, I am not a logical, sequential guy, all right? So those of you that are, if you find yourselves completely confused, that's why, okay? I'm a more random, abstract thinker, intuitive kind of guy. I share from experience, and that's how I teach. So it is a blessing that thank you, Ryan. It's a blessing that you have somebody like Fred to preach and teach with you guys week to week because he is more gifted as a teacher. I am more of a proclaimer personality, prophet personality. I get very impassioned when I speak and teach. But I bounce all over the place. And I know Calvary churches are typically verse by verse. We're going to bounce all over the place. So how many brought your Bibles this morning? Okay. And how many brought something to write on? Right with. Okay. Let's pray and we'll take it from there. Precious Holy Spirit, Father Jesus, be with us this morning. guide and direct the words of my mouth and the meditations in my heart. Lord, I want you to be lifted up this morning. I want you to be glorified. I want us to see ourselves rightly in light of your glory, in light of your holiness, in light of your love, that we might understand maybe a glimpse better about the sufferings, the trials, the hardships that we go through, that we might have more hope, that we might be better prepared to be your vessels in this dark and dying world in which we find ourselves. So come, Lord Jesus, and be with us now. Be lifted up. Cause your word to come to life. Open our ears and our minds. And help us in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. So that I can connect a little bit, do we have any veterans here? People who've served in the military? Okay, excellent. Thank you very much for your service and for what you were willing to do for the rest of us here. Any police officers, law enforcement folks? Okay. Medical personnel, nurses, doctors? Okay. How about counselors or therapists, folks of that nature, like me? Why am I pointing you guys out? Well, I think you know. You have seen some of the dark things in life that you're thankful that the rest of us here haven't had to see. Am I right? You see the stories. You've seen bodies. You've seen the weeping, the brokenness of life. And you've carried that as your job, your profession, and as a believer, you've carried that weight at a whole other level, right? Well, is that the only ones? Do we have any parents here? Do we have any teenagers here? Your journeys are not any easier, are they? Is it fun being a teenager? Dealing with all the insecurities of growing up and your self-awareness and your body image and the social pressures that you go through, and moms and dads, the daily strain and stress of taking care of your little ones and wondering why you brought kids into this world sometimes, because this world's a scary place, right? Did that thought go through your head? It did for my wife and I, too, back in 1991. It hasn't changed. Here we are in 2019. Every parent has those fears. And, life is hard, isn't it? It's really hard. How many are dealing with chronic medical issues right now? Kathy and I chatted a little bit. How many are enjoying the joys of old age and the aches and pains and the loss of memory and all those fun things that come with that? Anybody? If you can't remember, then raise your hand. Because you're like me. So, how do we deal with this? Well, here's my passion. The reason I'm talking with you this morning is I've seen over the last 3 decades how many Christians are not well prepared theologically, personally, to deal with suffering. How's that for a simple purpose in my sermon this morning? Some of the stuff I'm going to share, some of you already know, you've thought about it, maybe. Some of you haven't thought about it deeply. Some of you have chewed on it intensely. But there's this one fact that we can all say. Some of you have been through suffering, some of you are going through suffering, and what's the third one? You're going to be going through suffering at some point. So if you haven't had those big life moments yet that have knocked you on your face, made you question everything you thought you believed about God and other people, you will. Well, that's a cheerful thought, Bob. Thanks for sharing. Let's close in prayer. Now, we're going to go through those things, and I'd like to talk about maybe some of the whys. I don't have all the answers. I don't pretend to. I still struggle like you do. But I've learned a few things, a few hooks to hang hope on, some ways to persevere that I'd love to share with you this morning. So that's what we're going to do. How many of you are here ready to take notes? Raise your hand. Okay, let me ask a dumb question. Is part of being in church to learn and grow in Christ? If you agree with that, raise your hand. Okay, most of you just raised your hand. Only about half of you raised your hand the first time. Okay, so I want to ask one of my military guys or gals here. In basic training, when the sergeant sends you out to a training exercise or to classroom, what happens if you show up not prepared for those lessons? Would you tell us what happens? It's not pleasant, is it? And why is that? Well, right, because they expected you to know what you were there for and be prepared to do what you came for, right? And they drill that into you. So, how many of you came here to learn today? How many are prepared to learn today? How many have perfect recall in your memory? Okay, I don't like you two. You can leave now. Right, the rest of us, the best memory is, the longest memory is the shortest pencil. Okay? So, now I'm giving you an excuse to actually, how many of you have your iPhones or your phones with you that you can take notes on? Pull them out. If I hear any video games going on or movies, I'm going to throw something at you, all right? The rest of you can take notes on them. Those of you that brought pencils, I have something for you to take notes on. Would you be so kind as to hand this out to the slackers who did not show up prepared this morning, sir? Raise your hand if you need something to take notes on, and my friend here will hand you something. So, all right, now that you've been lovingly admonished, let's move on. Ryan, I'm still getting a lot of feedback. I'm just going to have to live with it? Do I need to lower this or raise it? Okay. I can clip it on my beard if that would help. Okay, so let's talk about some purposes. We all know the big picture, right? We live in a fallen world, right? And as a result of a fallen world of sin, corruption, and brokenness, we deal with suffering as a result. We know God himself says he's the author of calamities. That's a long conversation we don't have time for this morning. But God is involved even in some of those things. We all know God is sovereign, right? Nod. God is in control of all things. And we also know people make real decisions, real choices, right? Do we understand that fully? No. But we embrace both, correct? Thank you very much. So we embrace both of those things, even though we don't fully understand it. But that's not what we're going to talk about this morning either. Some of the purposes I want to talk about have to do with what we need to know about suffering. 2 Corinthians 3, I'm going to start there this morning. And as I said, I'm going to jump a lot all over the place, so at the very least, jot down these verses as I tell them to you and spend some time chewing on them. Chapter 3 of 2 Corinthians, verse 2, he says, "You are our letter, written on our hearts, known and read by all men, being manifested that you are a letter of Christ, cared for by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. And this confidence we have through Christ toward God, not that we're adequate in ourselves to consider anything coming from ourselves, but our adequacy is from God, who made us adequate as servants of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. The letter kills, the Spirit gives life." So we are letters. We're stories being written by God. Kathy, your life is a story, and it's being written by God every day. It's not written by you. So the things that you go through, he's writing. And he's writing it so that people will read your life. Well, why are they going to read your life? Well, we are called, guys and gals, to a ministry of reconciliation. How many of us here understand that we are all ministers in Christ and of Christ, right? It's not your pastor's job. It's not my job as a counselor. It's all of our jobs. We have been given a ministry of reconciliation. What does a ministry of reconciliation mean? It means it's our responsibility, just like it was Jesus's, to reconcile a dying world to their God, to call people to know forgiveness, to know that they are loved, to know that they have a hope and a purpose, that they can be forgiven and not have to live an eternally separated life from God upon their death. That's our job. It's our calling. Everything we do is focused around that. So that's one of the reasons we go through this. So what's the message that we're supposed to communicate? If you jump down to chapter 4, starting in verse 5, he says, "We do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus as Lord, and ourselves as your bondservants. For God said, 'Light shall shine out of darkness.'" He's the one who said, has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of who? The face of Christ. "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the surpassing greatness of the power of God may not be from ourselves. Because we're afflicted in every way, but we're not crushed. We're perplexed, but we're not despairing. We're persecuted, but we're not struck down. We're forsaken and struck down, but not destroyed." Verse 10, look at this. "Always carrying about in the body, in our bodies, the dying of Jesus, that the life of Jesus may be manifested in our bodies. For we who live are constantly being delivered over to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus may be manifested in our mortal flesh." So we're light bearers. That's our job. We're light bearers. Our job is to communicate the glory of Jesus Christ, the knowledge of the glory of God through Jesus to the world. How did Jesus do it? Anybody? How did he show us the love of God? He died on a cross. He endured suffering. How many of you understood that when you surrendered your life to Christ? That he was bidding you come and die with me. Do you remember that? How many of you were baptized? How many of you understood on the day you were baptized that you were saying, "I die to the things of this world so that I might live to the things of God"? Right? Serious stuff, isn't it? This is not trivial stuff. We try to water this down. We want to make Christianity appealing. We want people to like Jesus. No. We call people to come and die with him because he died for us. That's the message. So how does suffering interplay with this? "We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the surpassing power, the greatness of the power, may be from" who? "God, and not ourselves." Let's look at Philippians 1:29. I'm trying to unpack what this means a little bit more. Philippians Philippians 1, 29, it says, "For to you it has been granted for Christ's sake, not only to believe in him, but what? Also to suffer for his sake, experiencing the same conflict which you saw in me, and now here to be in me." It's been granted us the great privilege of suffering with him. Now, what does that mean? What does it mean to suffer? Let's just take a pause here. A lot of us tend to think that, oh, well, suffering is I go out and share my faith and somebody spits at me or throws rocks at me. And nobody's really done that because I live in America. And for the most part right now, we're okay. It's getting worse, though, guys. Joshua's going to face a whole different world in 10 years, right? 15 years than we're living in. It's reality. But right now, we don't experience, if you will, such direct persecution. So are we not suffering? Kathy, is it hard every day? Is it hard to hold on to your faith every day sometimes? Yeah, absolutely. You have to start over every day, don't you? Title of my message, No Easy Day. Anybody here a Navy SEAL by any chance? Military folks? That's where this motto comes from. It's one of my new life mottos because I need it. And I think it's biblically solid. There are no easy days, folks. We Christians have been seduced in thinking that. But getting back on point, is it suffering? We have teenagers. You're a teenager. Are you a teenager, young lady? All right. Is it suffering when your parents ask you to do something or don't allow you to do something that you want to do? Would you call that a form of suffering, that you're being denied something? It is. It is. It's not, you know, I lost my leg to an IED suffering, but you're being denied something, right? Being denied something we desire or being given something that we don't desire is really the bottom line definition of suffering. Now, it's only suffering if we bear it well. If you squabble with your mom because you want your nose pierced and she keeps saying no and you really want it done, well, that's a whole different issue, right? But to bear up, to obey, is a form of suffering. Anybody disagree with that? Because if you do, you have a problem with Hebrews 5:8. Let's turn to that real quick. Or you can just trust me. I wouldn't. But that's me. Hebrews 5:8 says, "Jesus learned obedience through that which he suffered. And having been made perfect, he became to all those who obey him the source of eternal salvation." Now, wait a minute. Jesus learned obedience. Don't we usually tie obedience with sin and disobedience? How is it that Jesus learned obedience? Did Jesus sin? Everybody said, no. Okay. So then what did he learn? He learned to obey more and more faithfully as suffering increased. How many of us have bailed in our attitudes, with our mouths, in our actions, when the heat gets too high? Oh, if you're not raising your hand, you're lying. So just raise your hand, everybody. Right? We've all at some point hit that threshold where I don't care. I don't care anymore. And we know it. We're sinful attitudes, our sinful, selfish attitudes. Our flesh says, I'm not taking it anymore. Ain't doing it no more. Don't care. Words come out of our mouths that we'd never use in church. Right? We've all done that. So one of the purposes in our suffering is to help teach us obedience. Because why, Kathy? What is our life story? We're being read. Everybody's reading our life story. Every single day, somebody's reading our life story. It's important. First Peter 4:12. Like I said, I'm going to jump around a lot, jot the verses down, go back over them. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you, which comes upon you for your testing, as though some strange thing were happening to you. But to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing, so that at the revelation of his glory, you may rejoice with exultation. Don't be surprised. Anybody ever get surprised by suffering? Right? Our expectations are that we won't. We say we know things are going to happen, but when they really do, we often get caught off guard. He's encouraging us and reminding us that suffering is part of this world. It's part of life. And when we can get to the point where we can say there is no such thing as an easy day, things actually get easier. We have changed. Did Jesus complete his sufferings? Pop quiz. Anybody? Did Jesus complete his sufferings? I'm seeing some nodding. I'm hearing some sure. Okay. Let's look at Colossians 1:24. And now nobody's going to answer any more of my questions today because I set these guys up. Colossians 1:24 says, I rejoice in my suffering for your sake, and in my flesh I do my share on behalf of his, Jesus' body, which is the church, in filling up that which is lacking in Christ's afflictions. Wait, he didn't finish. He didn't finish his sufferings, guys. Well, how is he completing them? In you, in you, in you, in me, in you, in you, in you in the back there. He's completing his sufferings now, right now, today, in us. In your broken heart, because your boyfriend or girlfriend broke up with you. In your heartache over your grandkids. In your grief over a loved one that has passed away. Over the discs in your back that are ruptured and make you limp when you walk. He is completing his sufferings in us now. We are now doing our part for the sake of Christ and for the sake of the world. Not if you're tracking. You tracking with me so far? I lost you? So our suffering has purpose, doesn't it? It has meaning. He does not waste any of our sufferings, no matter how small or large they are. They're not wasted. The enemy wants us to think that. Well, as we go forward here, well, I'm going to look at Isaiah 53 in a second. But here's what I want you to look at for the remainder of our time here as we look at some more scriptures. These are the themes that I want to put in your hands to help you when trials come so that you don't become the seed on the rocky soil and lose heart and walk away from your faith. Here they are. Jot them down. Some of you guys can memorize them, you guys with the perfect memories. And we're going to look at where they come from. Humility, vulnerability, honesty, dependence, and perspective. Humility, vulnerability, honesty, dependence, and perspective. If you are cultivating these things, developing these things, you will be strengthened in your faith, and when trials come, you will have the strength you need to see it through and hold on to who you are. Isaiah calls described Jesus as what? A man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. How did we view him? Stricken of God, smitten and afflicted. We did not esteem him. Are you Christ followers? Are you men and women of sorrow? Are you acquainted with grief? Do people look at you and esteem you as smitten and afflicted? If so, you're following your Jesus. And people want to look at you and say, where do you get this hope? How in the world, Kathy, can you possibly have hope? It makes no sense to this world, especially our American culture, because we're all about what?
Fun,
comfort, right? Strong. We love our sports teams because we want to win, 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 right? Americans are winners. We're not losers. We're overcomers. It slides down into our faith. And if we're not overcomers in some obscure westernized concept, then we're not good Christians. Well, then what are we supposed to do with this? Paul said in 2 Corinthians 1 that I had the sentence of death within myself so that I would not depend on myself, but rather on God who raises the dead and who comforts us in all our afflictions so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the same comfort we ourselves are comforted by God. Just as the sufferings of Christ are ours in abundance, literally flow over us, so also our comfort is abundant through Christ. But if we are afflicted, it is for your comfort. What do we typically do when we go through hard times? Where do we go in our heads? We go inside, right? It becomes all about me. Poor me. My life stinks. God's being mean to me. I don't understand why. It's not. Only one of you thought that. Come on. It's not fair. How many of us have thought that today at the intersection when the other car almost pulled out in front of us or whatever it was? It's not fair. We go inside. God's saying our suffering needs to propel us outside of ourselves. Because all that we are, God is saying, is for the sake of others. Well, that sounds wonderful, Bob. How do I do that? Romans 5. Let's turn to this one. This one's worthy of some reflection. In Romans 5, it says, we'll start at verse 1. We have been justified by faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus, through whom we have also been given our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we exult in hope of the glory of God. So we're believers in Jesus, and we have this hope that we cling to, we are thankful for. We were singing about this morning, right? It resonates in our hearts, and we hold on to that. And not only this, we exult in our, what? Tribulations. How so? We exult knowing that the tribulation brings about perseverance. Perseverance brings about what? Proven character. Character brings about hope. Comes right back to hope. And hope doesn't disappoint us because what? The love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. And then he says, while we were still helpless, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. Then John in verse 8, he says, God demonstrated his love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So what were we bringing to the table when he saved us? anything other than our sin? Yeah, no. So what is proven character then? If tribulations bring about perseverance and proven character, I want that, right? Because if I have character, then I can have hope, right? How many of you struggle with hope? Come on. You guys are all more spiritual than me. You got it all together. Nobody struggles here. It's impressive. Well, let's talk about how we develop character. 2 Corinthians 12. Told you we were bouncing around a lot. Didn't believe me, did you? 2 Corinthians 12. Paul is speaking. Paul had a thing that not too many of us have been given the gift of. Any of you had a spiritual experience where you were taken into the second heaven, or whatever he calls it, and saw things in the spiritual realm that you're not even allowed to utter because it was so majestic and mind-blowing? Anybody have that? I didn't think so. Me either. But Paul did. And it says in verse 7, because of the greatness of the revelation he was given, for that reason he was given to keep him from exalting himself, he was given a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet him, to keep him from exalting himself. In other words, suffering. There's that word again. He begged the Lord to take it away from him. The Lord said what? My grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. So much rather I would boast about my weaknesses that the power of Christ might dwell in me. You want character? Embrace your weakness. Acknowledge that you're weak. Acknowledge that you are dependent. That's humility, right? That's dependence. Hey, guys, how many of us suck it up when we go through hard times? We try to man up, suck it up, buttercup, right? Tough it out. Especially you guys have been in the military and the police. You're told to shut it down, right? There's a level at which you have to do that to function at your job. Is it really good for you spiritually, though? Because God says when we're weak, then we're strong. His strength comes out of broken people and weak people so that he might, who gets the glory? God gets the glory. When we're sucking it up, men, and some of you ladies too, we're stuffing it down, soldiering on, who's really kind of getting the glory? We're feeling pretty good about us a little bit, right? I can deal with that. I'm tough enough. Hey, I lived in Alaska for 8 years. I can handle 45 below. Oh, big whoop. No, because that doesn't show people Jesus. That shows people Bob's big, stinking, ugly ego. Who do you want shining out of your life? Another tool in your toolbox, and guys, you're not going to like this, but that's okay, are the quotes from a man who killed a lot of people in his life. A man who God said had blood on his hands and who was not worthy to build the temple of the Lord because he had blood on his hands. Who am I talking about? King David. He was a soldier. Okay? Anybody here think he was a pansy? Anybody here want to meet him in battle on a dark day? I wouldn't. I want no part of that. He was, in the vernacular of today's day and age, a badass. Okay? He was as tough as they come. He was also something else, wasn't he? He was a writer. He was a poet. He was a man who wrote things like this. My soul waits in silence for God only. From him is my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation, my stronghold. I shall not be shaken. My soul waits in silence for God only, my hope. Trust in him at all times, people. Pour out your heart before him, for our God is a refuge. Is he stuffing it? Is he shutting it down? Or is he acknowledging his heart? My soul thirsts for God. My flesh yearns for you in a dry and weary land where there's no water. When I remember you on the bed, I meditate on you in the night watches. Psalm 56. I'd like to see some of you guys write this. When I am afraid, I put my trust in you, in God whose word I praise. In God I put my trust. I won't be afraid. What can man do to me? All day long they distort my words. Their thoughts against me are against me for evil. They attack, they lurk, they watch my steps. They wait to take my life. You have taken account of my wanderings, and you have put my tears in a bottle. Aren't they written in your book? Do you guys get that honest with God about your pain? Ladies, do you pour out your heart to God transparently like that? Or do you think that's being weak in faith? Because it's not. It's actually being strong in faith. It's being transparent and vulnerable. I've said I can't count the number of times in my 30 years as a counselor that if the church was doing its job and we were able to be that transparent with each other, I would be unemployed. The gal who shared about the guys who came out and chopped up her fence, she's a widower. You blessed her. You blessed her. You entered into her suffering. You came alongside because she acknowledged her need. Any of you veterans that raised your hand been in combat? Are you home fully yet? Are there stories that you hold inside your soul that you dare not share with anybody lest you have a fear that they would lose their minds listening to it? He needs to be able to come home fully. Kathy needs to be able to come home fully. We need to bear our souls to each other. We need to have the confidence that I can confess the pain in my soul and know that I am still received and loved and understood and accepted so that I can heal. I have a good friend who was in Vietnam and had to stand at point blank range and shoot a teenage Vietnamese kid who pulled out a rusty pistol. He had to do it. He was on guard duty. He had no choice. And he has suffered with nightmares ever since. I was the first person he's told, other than his wife, when that happened back in the 70s. That's heartbreaking that he has carried that alone all those years. It's heartbreaking that some of you, all of you, I guarantee it, all of you carry stuff inside you that when prayer time comes up, you say, oh, I can share this and I can share that, but I am never going to share this. Because I don't know how that will be heard. That's not right. That's not right. Bear what? One another's burdens, and thus fulfill the law of God. Galatians 6:2. Are we bearing each other's burdens? Are you letting others bear your burdens? I don't have a lot of gifts. I'm not the smartest guy in the world. I'll be the first to admit that. My gift is I have a big mouth, and I like to advocate for people, and I shoot straight with people when I counsel with them, and I listen because I care, because I've been beat up in life myself, and I know what it's like to not be listened to, and I know what it's been like when people have heard me. So I'm this stupid risk taker that, you know, used to climb walls and rocks without the proper equipment, 30, 40 feet up in the air, stupid stuff, you know? And I've also kind of been the risk taker that stupidly chooses to believe the best in people, and I've bared my soul, not always, sometimes in whiny, pathetic ways, not always, but sometimes in, I need to connect with another human being so I know I'm not crazy. Anybody here feel like that? You ever feel that way? That if people really knew me, they run screaming into the night. We all feel that way. Where do you think that lie comes from? Who do you think is the perpetrator of that? We call him the accuser of the brethren, right? And if he can con you into believing that your problems are so unique that nobody can understand them, he's got you right where he wants you, isolated from the body. It is a gift of God to unburden your soul, to have someone say, my heart breaks for you, and I still love you. I need that. Call me crazy. You need that. You need that. If you don't have somebody that you do that with, what am I going to say? Find them. Take a risk. Take a risk. Because we need to minister to one another. 1 Corinthians 12:6 says, if one member of the body suffers, who? All the members of the body suffer with them. And if they're not, then go find another body, because they're not doing their job. I don't know if I'm close on time or not, Dave. It's 11:30. How are we doing? I'm getting close. What about perspective? One thing I will tell you that happened to me after my wife's accident, I became a better student of eternity than I was before. And I would dare guess that most of you, like me, have probably a pretty superficial definition of what heaven is about and what it looks like, the new heavens and the new earth, and your hope. I'm guessing most of you probably haven't really thought about it very much. Anybody here want to admit that? No? Okay. I didn't. But that day is coming, folks, and it's going to be the greatest thing ever. I yearn for that day. I long for the day when I will see my Savior face to face, when there will be no more pain, no more sorrow, no more sickness, no more sadness, that we will be able to work and our work will have meaning, and there won't be any children that die in the womb anymore. There won't be any disease. That's going to be a great day. That's going to be what I'm living for. That is what I'm living for. And if you don't have that hope, if you think you're just going to be sitting on fluffy clouds, you know, playing a harp, you need to educate yourself on what Scripture teaches. There will be rejoicing and gladness, no weeping, no old men who don't live out their days. We'll build houses and inhabit them and plant vineyards and eat fruit. And we're not going to have one of us build a house and somebody else live in it. We're going to live in our own homes. We're not going to bear children for calamity. We don't have to worry about that anymore. And the lion and the lamb will graze together, and they will do no harm or evil in all my holy mountain, says the Lord. Who wouldn't want to look forward to that? But why don't we? Because we want it now, don't we? We want our comfort and our pleasure now. We want to reject suffering. We want to live with our minds here rather than the hope that is to come. We have it upside down, guys. So what's God got to do? He's got to help us to not love this world so much. And he's going to do that because he loves us. Because how can we communicate the love of God and the hope of eternity if we're busy running around trying to make eternity now and then telling other people to go love Jesus too? Doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. I could go on and on. Let me wrap us up here. Did you happen to find any, have any luck with that song that I mentioned? Did you guys? No moss? All right, no worries. That's fine. 1 Peter 4 says, therefore, since Christ himself suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same purpose. Because he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, so as to no longer live the rest of the time in the flesh for the lusts of men, but for the will of God. None of us are getting out of this life alive, folks. I don't know if you know that or not. And none of us are getting out of this life without scars. The question is, are the scars going to make you bitter? Are they going to make you better? Are you going to be able to say with my wife, Jane, who was disabled in 2008 from a rock hitting her head, putting her permanently in chronic pain from the brain injury? You're going to be able to say with us one day, I wouldn't wish this on anybody, but I wouldn't trade it for anything in the world for what we've gained in Christ. I know Jesus better now through our brokenness and through our suffering than I've ever known him before. And you can have that same experience when you humble yourselves, when you say, Lord, I am weak. I need you. I need others. When you learn how to pour out your heart to him and to others and let others enter into your pain and help carry your burden with you. You don't do it alone. Can't do it alone. Not supposed to do it alone. And when you learn to be a citizen of heaven, when you long more for heaven and for Jesus than the things of this earth, that's suffering well. That's having your story written well. You don't do it in your own strength. You do it in the Holy Spirit's strength. Did any of you begin your life in Christ in your own flesh? Nope. You began by repenting and believing, right? Colossians 2:6 says, as you began in Christ Jesus the Lord, continue to walk in him. So when we go through deep waters, we're going to do a lot of confessing and a lot of repenting and a lot of believing. And if we will wrestle well, it's okay to wrestle, guys. It's okay to be mad. It's okay to say, I don't know what I believe about God anymore. You're going to do that. If you're not doing that, you're not going to grow deeper in God because you're going to be settling for some superficial definition of who he is. He wants you to know him deeply. He wants your hearts transformed. Transforming hearts hurts. It rips. It tears. It's hard. But we grow in it. Embrace the struggle. Don't deny it. Be real with yourself. Be real with others. Ask for help. And I believe that the body here will love you and will help you. Because that's what the body is for, right? Let's close in prayer. Father, Jesus himself in the garden said, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. But Lord, then he concluded, nevertheless, your will be done. Amen.